Hello and welcome to podcast 344 of Five Star Potential, your weekly football manager podcast. I'm Duke, and on this week's pod, I'm joined by Joe, aka Friday Night FM, Paul, aka Mad FM, and Dave, aka The Tryhard. How you doing, bud, lads? We good? We well?
Why am I tryhard?
Because you were ready, eager to go, because you stink like shit and you want a shower. Right, let's jump on to our winners of the week. Dave, as you're talking, who's your winner of the week?
I mean, it's been a short while since we did the last podcast, so nothing major has happened in my life. But I suppose me, because my house is actually coming along. So I know I've said that for the last year and a half, but I'm nearly there.
Still waiting for that to be a thing, so me and Joe can actually come round.
Yeah, I'd give a timeline, but whenever I do that, Jesus
Christ, not after last week's quiz.
He didn't go a driveway.
He will when I finish.
Sound.
Okay, sweet. Okay, Matt.
Thank you.
Who's your winner of the week?
My winner of the week is you, Dupe, and I'll tell you in a while.
Okay. Brilliant. I mean, this is kind of the section for it, Matt, but that's fine.
I'm not ready to talk about it yet. We'll wait.
Joe, who's your winner of the week?
Ooh. Jamie Carragher.
Oh, boy.
Blimey. Why is that?
Oh, boy.
Well, he's going to get some free time, isn't he, sir?
No, I thought it was all good now. I thought they've brushed under the cap, haven't they?
Yeah, after he spat some bars.
Oh, okay.
Dupe's just protecting him because he's got his kid playing for him and his siren safe. Sorry.
Thanks for watching. He doesn't play for us anymore.
To be fair, that was a shit winner, to be fair. I haven't really fought one.
Yeah, neither have I. So I'm just like trying to leave this on for a bit longer. You want to go for a different one, Joe, or...?
Dave.
Okay.
Because he's nearly got his house done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Okay. My winner of the week is midweek football. And the fact that Bournemouth versus Luton seems like an absolute banger. And I would love to have watched it. So there you go. There's my winner of the week.
No way is that a banger.
Fair play. 3-0 down and 4-3. I mean, that's pretty cool.
That's bad defending.
Yeah, I know about that. And also, we're not an NFL podcast, but the Eagles are doing some business at the moment, and it's quite exciting. Losers of the week, David.
Yep, he is.
That's that section gone.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, as you can see, I'm a bit of a sweaty mess. I've just come back from football. I think I lost 8-2, and I was in goal. So.
Go on. Dave, Joe, say it.
I can't, mate.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I think it was 8-3, but I mean, I'll set you up for that as well. So.
Brilliant. Okay, Matt, who's your loser of the week?
Well, now that we've
got internet.
My internet's low.
Latency.
Welcome to. My loser of the week. Well, now that we've talked about Bournemouth and Luton, and Joe just mentioned how bad their defending is, Newcastle drew with both of those teams this season at home. So it's Newcastle.
Never mind. What happened on Monday?
Should we talk about Monday?
No.
Okay.
Too soon.
All right, fair enough. Joe, your loser of the week?
Mad.
Yes.
You're going to tell us later? Or?
Nah.
It's mad.
Just mad.
It really doesn't like me this week. Or last week.
Insert something about mad being a pikey.
Should we just talk about the quiz last week?
Let's not
talk about the quiz last week.
I'm going to go check the YouTube comments for if see if anyone else hated the quiz as much as you did.
No, no one in the YouTube said anything, to be fair.
Because they don't watch it.
Yeah, no one watches the YouTube. We have to wear clothes for no reason whatsoever. My loser of the week will be Mad. Will be revealed later. Right.
I don't think you quite get the idea of this section of the podcast, boys.
No,
the whole point of this bit of the section is you start discussing it and it wastes 20 minutes, so we don't have to talk about anything.
Okay.
Well, I can't give too much away, but I can change my loser of the week. That's fine.
You could just start talking about it now.
No, let's do my loser of the week as Elon Musk, because he's a fucking arsehole and I hate him at this moment.
I told you that's your fault.
Yeah, so
you're on Twitter going, "Oh, I've seen lit fibre at a petrol pump," spunking over him Elon's fucking social media,
and then my internet.
Now
goes
you
to
wonder
shit.
Why you're Starlink shit. You're literally cheating on him in public.
I've got no loyalty there, have I?
Deep throat in a petrol pump advert. Please come. How many retweets?
It's worked though, Joe. It's worked.
Yeah.
And I didn't even need a single retweet, mate. So I think I'm winning there. Well, no one sees my tweets, so it's fine. Right, let's jump into save updates. We are a Football Manager podcast anyway, you would like to think. So, Mad, talk to us about your save and how you've won the Champions League, mate.
Okay. I played a little bit since we last recorded and last spoke. I think the last time we had spoken, I told you I'd won the league. That was the fourth season in a row. And we were... I think we'd played 6 games in the Champions League group stages, but so far it had been probably my worst performance in the Champions League in our third time in the Champions League. And as we'd left off, so I mentioned obviously we'd sold Jonah, which didn't affect our league performance at all, but definitely is coming into play in the Champions League because of the increased quality of the opposition. So as we left off last week, I told you I had 2 games left in the Champions League, and because of this whole Swedish league calendar thing, I had 43 days of a gap between the third last Champions League group game and the second last Champions League group game. So we go and we do, all the boys go on holiday, you don't get to prepare a whole lot. I've tried to squeeze a few friendlies in. Transfer window doesn't open until February 1st, and our Champions League games against Benfica and Arsenal were on the 20th and 27th of January. So even though I mentioned to you last week that I had successfully pursued that DM, who was Max Nilsson, and it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to having him in the team because I really need a good DM. Not here for another couple of weeks. I signed a really good right back from Brøndby, also Swedish. I think he was half Swedish, half Denmark. We had great fun with that. Anyway, lads. Content. But again, February 1st. Sweet. So no change in squad going into the game against Benfica. Kicked off, got to about 20 minutes, penalty to Benfica. And this was kind of weird. I felt like I hadn't seen myself concede a penalty for quite a while. And last year, I distinctly recall conceding quite a lot of penalties and never saving them. But in this save, I don't feel like I've conceded a lot of penalties. Again, probably because we're the dominant side in the league. So we go and concede a penalty to Benfica 1-0. 5 minutes later, 2-0. And we pulled it back to 2-1 just on the brink of halftime. And then absolutely nothing happened in the second half. Made some subs, tried to pull it back. And the game finished 2-1, which meant that we were just outside the top 24 teams of that Champions League, going to play our final game against Arsenal, which is never going to be easy. Now, it was at home. Arsenal had finished second in the league. Or sorry, they're currently second in the league, I suppose, because they're mid-season for them. Obviously, it's January. But they were sitting top of the Champions League group, or league group. So that was going to be tough. We kicked off against Arsenal. And what's interesting, lads, I'm in 2027 now. So, I mean, Joe, I know you've gone that far. I know you say you haven't played for a little bit, but this Arsenal team is very much the same as what it was. The only kind of additions that I could see, they've Gonçalo Inácio, the centre-half, but he's injured. And then they have an aged Kyle Walker, kind of like looks like a sub for them, really. And then they've Andreas Christensen in centre-back. Apart from that, the team is largely the same. So I thought, maybe there's a chance here. So we kicked off at home to Arsenal. 20 minutes in, gave away a penalty. Deja vu much. And this time, Bukayo Saka steps up.
Where'd you sign him from?
Deja vu. I'm too late and tired. I don't even know what to say. Deja vu. Saka steps up. And incidentally, lads, because at the time of recording, Arsenal played last night and they had a penalty shootout in real life against Porto. I don't know if you saw this, lads, but Saka stood up to take his penalty. And is it Fletcher, the guy who's the commentator? Stephen Fletcher with Ali McCoist?
Darren
Fletcher, ex-player. Different guy.
No,
different one. Different
I know, I know.
Definitely different one.
I don't know if you spotted this, lads, but he basically said, oh, Saka steps up, he doesn't miss. And I was like, he kind of missed.
But he does, really in the Euros.
And I was like, did I just hear that? Obviously he scored. But Saka did step up against Ike in the Champions League on 20 minutes and miss his penalty, saved by our keeper, who's the 6'8" Samuel Brolin, which was nice to see. 4 minutes later, Gabriel Martinelli scored for Arsenal, 1-0 down. and it was 2-0 just on half time. We did, though, manage to pull it back to 2-1. And actually, we started playing really, really well. I made a couple of subs. It seemed to be taking effect. And it got all the way to 77 minutes. And William Saliba, out of nowhere, I think they had a corner, some kind of set piece, and I'm pretty sure it was a corner. The ball ends up on the far side of where the corner was taken, on the byline. And Saliba's got it at his feet. I've got like two defenders. And it happens quite quickly in the animation. But he's basically weaved around through the two defenders, still on the line. And he scored in the far post. Must have been through my keeper's legs. I should have zoomed in on the replay. I don't know how the fuck Saliba has scored this goal. But yeah, that consigned us to a defeat. We got one back and they got a fourth and we lost 4-2. So that probably ties us back to why my winner of the week is Dupe, because I'm out of the Champions League in my fourth season, which will be music to Dupe's ears. So, right now then, it's end of January. Transfer window is just about to open. As I said, we've got two players coming in. I kind of took some drastic measures. Basically, this was yesterday evening, and I was like, I'm going to give this a hell of a big shot next season. Again, because of our match bet that we have here on the pod with me and Dupe. I've mostly been focusing on trying to bring in Swedish players and good value players. We've got a fairly healthy budget of about 30-something million, which could be stretched to about 50. Couple of players I might sell, but I'm basically going to try and really up the game in terms of signings. As of today, I just agreed a pre-contract agreement with a striker who is Hugo Ekitike. Dave, you'll know all about him because Wolves were quite keen on him. Still at PSG.
You know, Wolves are keen on everyone.
I know all about him too, yeah.
Old fucking Pete Graves or whatever his name is. Every week. Ekitike, man.
Yeah, it was very... He was very much linked with Newcastle and then he shagged off to PSG and his career has been crap since. And that's what's happened in game as well. He's still at PSG. But interestingly, so one of the challenges I have when I go to look at players who are interested, there's quite a high range there. Like, I mean, I'll tell you who's even at the top of, let's say, the list now. Like, if I go to the very top of the interested players list, Harvey Elliott is showing here. Arthur Vermeeren, Joral Hatto.
So like, why is he now?
I've got a 23-year-old Harvey Elliott who's he's transfer listed by request. Now, lads, he's worth 58 million. I can't afford him. And his wages are 81K. My highest player is on about 25. So the problem I have is while I can attract the players based on interest, I can't compete with a lot of the wages. So we really have to slide down. But Ekitike was on only 20 grand or something like that, maybe even less at PSG. So I managed to lock him in at about 26 with a couple of bonuses. That's pretty good for us. So... he might fill the gap that Jonah has left because we've been using two strikers to kind of bring those goals back, but they're not super consistent. So maybe Ekitike will be.
How much have you signed Ekitike for, sorry?
Free. His contract is up. So end of January now. His contract won't be up till June. I'll be halfway through my season when he comes in, but he will be there for the chance.
You should see as well, if you've got a pot of money, how much it would be to buy him earlier as well, unless you already have.
I haven't actually checked
If you click on him and then hover over transfer, it should say buy now and PSG will give you an offer if you're in Jan.
You must be shit if Dave's giving you advice.
Hey.
I'll take a look.
Can you see it? Click it. You don't have to accept it now.
It says, it says joining Ike on the 7th of the 7th.
Yeah, and if you hover over transfer, it should say buy now or give you the option to buy him now.
It doesn't say it.
Drop downs.
I think... It doesn't say it. It says,
Are you still in a transfer window?
My window isn't open for 4 days.
In four days,
you'll be able to do it.
Yeah, try it out. So the other question I had was, what is your wage budget? I know obviously your highest earner is on like mid-20s, but how much have you got left to spend roughly?
So if I only ask that
because realistically, if you are going to go and win the Champions League, there's going to have to become a time where you're going to have to break that wage structure quite considerably.
My wage budget is actually ridiculous. I'm currently spending 324,000 of a 900,000 budget.
Right, exactly. So yeah. I know, obviously, Harvey Elliott, in terms of budget, you're not going to get it, but if you've got 600K a week just sat there, you've got to be tapping into that.
See, I hadn't been because of the whole... you know, trying to build up the Swedish kind of side of things.
No, of course, yeah.
But obviously things have got a bit spicier now since Stupa's challenged me. And as I've said to you already on last week's pod, there is an element of the save being a bit stale in between Champions League. So because the league, as I've said to you already, is quite easy. It's almost like
even Harvey Elliott, I would see if you could try and sign him on loan or something. I think the monthly fees would be quite considerable. Mm. And because he's transfer listed by request, maybe he won't join. But I would start tapping into that and start breaking into the, maybe not straight up into the 80-90k a week, but start tapping into players 40-50k a week. And you'll start to see yourself competing in the Champions League a lot more. And then obviously that's just going to bring more and more revenue in. So long term, it'll be worth it, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where often with my saves, we've talked about this a lot, I try to keep a bit of realism in it because if I feel like it's getting
ridiculous. Oh, of course, I appreciate
that. But, yeah. But at the same time, the reality of it is, I don't know how much this save like has left in terms of like how long I'll keep doing the same thing with the league. Obviously, I really want to push the Champions League. So yeah, to that point, it might be time to accelerate. If I look at the, I've just searched for all the players in the Allsvenskan in my league. So the top two players, actually 30,000, I've got two players now because I signed Can Uzun and that João Marques guy we spoke about a few weeks ago. Malmo have a 30K and then they've got a couple of 23s and 22s. But I basically dominate most of the top 10 or 20 in terms of wages. But Malmo actually are up there. So maybe you're right, Dave. Maybe we might push the boat out a little bit here. And
if you got that much money sat.
Make Dupe sweat.
Yeah. If you got that much money sat there, I would be.
I think
obviously I had it at, Joe's had it at Family Cow where, you know, he sort of started off quite low and eventually would have had to break it a little bit more. Mm. I had it at Supersport where no one was above like £1,500 a week. And then I ended up getting players on 12K a week. And it's the same at Bragantino. You know, I've got players now on 90 to 100K a week. When I joined, it was like 25K.
Mm.
Now, I suppose in that situation, Dupe would have been the same on the Penty. You probably don't respect the financial situation of a club as much.
Yeah, don't care. Just move somewhere else if it's shit.
Yeah. But I think genuinely in your case, if you are going to succeed, yes, it's a risk short term. But ultimately, if you go forward another couple of rounds in the Champions League, you know, money wise, you're laughing really.
It obviously, if that's the end goal, that's where you've just got to go balls out and just give it a good go. Because at the moment, you're not.
Mm.
I mean, that's quite shocking to hear that you've got over 66% of your wage budget just sat there doing fuck all.
What I love is that Dave's given all this financial advice. He signed Messi for Wolves.
Hey, that's for the stream.
That was vibes.
I was going to say the chat wanted it, but literally 3/4 of the chat was saying it was a stupid idea. So
3/4 of the chat was spot the fuck on.
Dave likes vibes. No, I might do it. Like, I think it would like change things up. There are leagues like this as well, right? Where one team is miles ahead in terms of how much they're spending and paying for wages. So, yeah, let's do it because I want to give Dupe something to worry about. And we said it last week, Dave. He's kind of challenging both of us with two separate saves. We can't let him do it.
I think he's going to beat me, to be honest. But yeah,
I haven't played it all week. To be fair, if that helps.
It probably does. Yeah. Yeah.
Go on, then, Dave. Talk to us about yours. How are you getting on? Should I be worried with yours?
I think next week I'll have a much, much better idea of where I'm at. Basically, I started the 2031 season now with Bragantino still. Really, regardless of what happens, this is going to be my last year with them because obviously last year I built an okay team, did okay in the league, but it was a little bit of an underwhelming season. This year, really, I want to win the Copa Libertadores, and if I don't, I'm going to walk ultimately. I've built a good team. I mean, the transfer window, I mean, I'm about to start the league season. Obviously, we had the big Sao Paulo championships, which I've spoke about the last couple of pods. Won the league in that, unbeaten. You know, got some massive wins in there. We'd beaten a team 11-0. We'd beaten teams quite comfortably 5 or 6-0. And then we moved on to the quarterfinal. So I think it's like the top eight in that league going to the quarterfinal. And typically we drew Palmeiras, who have been the best team in Brazil for the last 2 or 3 years. So it's 4-0 down against them at half time. I thought, shit, we are still miles off it. But to be fair, I had a lot of players out on international duty, so it was a rotated team. We came back, a decent effort to come back, but in the end we lost 4-3. So out in the quarterfinal, not a major loss because it's pretty much a glorified pre-season tournament. I think you get about 800k for winning, which is obviously nice, but it's not a huge amount of money in the grand scheme of things for us. We started the Copa Libertadores groups. I'm four games in, won all four of those very, very comfortably. We've been drawn against Liverpool from Uruguay. Obviously not the Liverpool from England. Olimpia, who are a Paraguayan team. Millonarios, who are from Colombia. Very comfortable so far in that. So four games in, won all four quite comfortably. So I'll have the next two of those games done soon. Transfer window's just shut. Strength of the team considerably, to be fair. Just wanted a bit more depth in areas. So in terms of, I've spent 25 million in transfers, received 17 million. Probably the most intriguing sale, my only big sale actually, was a guy called Hugo Ramirez. So this was an Argentinian lad that I bought in for 9 million from Racing in Argentina last year. I liked him because originally I signed him as a right midfielder. But he ended up being a little bit of a fullback for me as well. He could play both sides, left back and right back. And just very, very stable attributes all throughout. And only sort of 19 years of age when I signed him. And there was a lot of interest from him, but I was batting it back because he wasn't really from clubs that I would consider a big upgrade on us. But then Barcelona had come in for him. And I thought, all right, I need to discuss this. The thing is, and I've heard about this IRL as well. When Wolves had signed João Gomes in real life, there was a thing pretty much in Brazil where clubs need to be selling players by the age of sort of 23, 24 to get the peak, you know, peak value. I suppose it's the same in most places in football. But I've seen it a lot now where for me to sell Brazilians at a sort of 26, 27, I'm getting absolutely no money for them whatsoever. You know, the good Brazilians, the good young players are still worth a good amount of money, but the values of Brazilians are just, you know, dead low really. So the Argentinians and the sort of other South Americans is where you're going to make your money. So for me, I signed this guy for 9 million. Barca have signed him a year later for close to 20 million pounds. I've got a big sell on Fiat on him as well. Obviously, that might not benefit me long term because I might not be there. But ultimately, it was a good piece of business. So he went. Turns of players are bought in. I mentioned him last week. Gerson come in. Really good option. Physically, not quite where he used to be, but a good central midfield option. Quite a few new gens have come in just to bolster the team. I've just signed Renan Lodi as well as a good backup left back option. But again, he's 33 now, but physically still okay. Technically and mentally, obviously very, very good. But just bolstered the team all throughout. So I'm hoping now, you know, we can push on, have a successful season. And, you know, like I said, the league's not my priority. The Brazilian Cup's not my priority. Really, for me, it's a Copa Libertadores. And I'm hoping I'll get through to the knockouts easy. Just hoping across the two legs we can turn up because for some reason the last 2 years we've had a really slow start in first legs and given ourselves loads of work to do in the second leg. So we've got the quality to do. I've kept a lot of the players like John Kennedy's still there. Brenner's still there. Brenner's still fantastic. Diego Moreno is the Paraguayan new gen that I discussed a couple of weeks ago. He's really good at, you know, dead balls, the penalties and the free kicks. I've started giving him a lot more starts and he's had a really good start to the season. He's scored 16 goals in 15 games. So I'm hoping now the young lads that I bought last year are going to really, really kick on this year and we're going to see some success. But like I said, ultimately, this time next week, I want to be saying that either I've won trophy number two or I'm going to be at a different team, I'd assume.
It's Christmas all over again.
I swear he says that every week.
No.
Bingo. Dave, did you talk about Joel Linton last week? Did you sign Joel Linton?
No, you fucking did.
No. I did bring him up. I kept a keen eye on him for a while, but there's a few players like this that I was looking at and he was like 30. Oh, let me quickly search him now. He's in my save, he's still at Benfica, so he's 34 in my save. He's on 110 grand a week, and Benfica still wanted eight or nine million for him. For a 34-year-old, and like, I mean, I'm sort of contradicting myself here with the whole money thing, saying, you know, I've got all this money and whatever, just spend it. But I just couldn't come. Yeah, and I think there's a club thing about signing older players as well that they get really funny with you as well. So although he's great, Benfica were playing hardball with it and he's still playing a lot of games for them. So maybe it's something I'll revisit in the summer window because he'll be into his last year of his deal. He might be, and as long as he's physically still better, still okay, you know, his value might come down a bit. But yeah, I've left him for now and I signed a younger lad, I think on loan from Braga, who's going to fill that space for me anyway.
How many seasons have you been there now, Dave?
A year and a half.
Okay, so you've had an intake, seen anything spicy? What say youth facilities? Like, are they looking decent? Or
I think the youth facilities are okay. I mean, I've not seen anything out of this world, to be honest. There's been a few good players. I mean, I'm looking, we've got excellent youth recruitment, excellent youth facilities, excellent academy coaching, but off the top of my head, I haven't seen anything out of this world, to be honest. Nothing that gets me overly excited. There's some good young players, but they're like almost not in the right, like you got really strong attributes, but almost not in the right areas. And it's like, you know, I've got a young lad that I've got here now, 20 years old, Lucas Eduardo, who's a really, really tidy player, central midfielder, good passing, good technique, good flair and determination. But for where I want to play him, you know, I'm saying that, I'm looking at him again now, he's improved loads.
Yeah.
I might have to give him a shout in the first team, to be fair.
Well, the problem is it doesn't benefit you having a decent one, but it's always nice to see some of them, right? Like, it is fun. But you track them and you can keep an eye on them.
The good thing is, if I bring any into Brazil, I know for a fact if I move to another team, they're going to be affordable for me anywhere, you know. The one thing that was interesting that I've seen, I have seen it once or twice before in Brazil, Atlético Mineiro had gone into administration. The finances came, they were like 200 million debt. It was ridiculous. But basically then it said on the message, I don't know if obviously you boys may have seen it, is that they're going to consider sensible offers for the players because basically everyone's up for sale. I was looking through their squad. There were players, good strikers, didn't really need a striker. But the one position I needed was a right back. There's a young lad called Jose Santana who's physically, you know, so quick, could play right midfield, right back and left back. Very similar to the lad that I signed to Barcelona. I said, oh, it's perfect. And I thought, how much should I pay? And I think he was valued about 5 to 7 million. I offered 2.5 million. And they negotiated it. 2.5, 500K after 50 appearances and about 20% sell on. I was like, mate, sound. So as soon he came in, and then the board like delighted at the fee that we'd signed him for. So I took advantage of that, really. So that was always nice, you know, something worth looking at if you ever get that in your inbox as well. So, but like I say, I'm going to have been playing a lot more the last few days. So hopefully this time next week, at least have this season done and we'll see where we're at.
We'll be expecting a bumper one this week. I'm guessing we don't have a bumper one from you, Joe.
No.
No. It's a shame. It's what the people want. It's what the people want. So
I haven't played.
Just too tired, just too busy, or just not feeling it?
Can't be arsed. Haven't watched any football. Just haven't had a chance to load it up, really.
Hopefully soon. I'm about at the weekend. That might help. Will make it worse. Okay, let's jump over to Cirencester. Since we last spoke, which was not that long ago, we've finished the season and Matt will be pretty chuffed to hear what's happened. But let's just ease our way through. We were neck and neck with Yeovil at the top, 12 games to go. And if we would have won all our games, we would have been promoted. We'd have won the league, easy as that. But unfortunately, we decided that these last 12 games was the best time for us to be in the worst form we've been in all season. It doesn't help. I mean, I referenced it earlier about my internet being a bit poo. Tuesday's stream was a bit ropey because it just kept cutting in and out, and we only managed to play 3 games. Those 3 games were a 2-1 loss to Worthing. Now, the loss itself was pretty bad. Worthing aren't a great team. They're 17th, 18th in the division. But the bit that was the worst was the fact that one of our good DMs got injured, and Owen Hesketh, who has been on fire for me, Dave, ex-Wolves, right? He's been on fire for me. He also had a long-term injury, which saw that we'd only get him back quite late on into the season. So it meant Nick Powell, who we signed earlier, would get a little go, and we started him against Maldon and Tiptree, and he actually scored 2 for us. He got a brace for us. Our little James Kamara from Swansea got a goal. And we actually went out 4-1 winners there. And then the last game of that stream was we played Billericay. Now, Billericay at the time were 3rd in the division. And a draw here would have been perfect, but we decide to shit our pants and just not create much at all. And we lose that 1-0. That fast forwards on today's stream, which was Wednesday last week when you're listening to this. And we had 10 games to go and we just were dead on points with Yeovil. So when we started the stream, we were 4 goals ahead, same amount of points. we have to play Yeovil in three games time. So again, it's in our hands. We played Hornchurch, who were the team that beat us randomly 7-3 last at the start of the season. We managed to, at home, beat them 2-0 with two early goals and then just not see another highlight for the rest of the game. We then went on a loss to Horsham, 4-3, which was a horrendous result. Constantly trying to chase the goals. Nick Powell actually missed a penalty, putting the pressure on, piling it on top of us. And it was really, really painful to see, because everything we were trying, we were hitting the post, hitting the crossbar, keeper was on fire, and our keeper just let everything past without even putting a hand out. Then we went to Maidenhead and played Maidenhead, and a late equaliser from one of our teammates. His dad died.
I'm here.
He's back. Okay. Then we went to Maidenhead and a last minute goal from a guy that's out of contract, and he's just literally, we pay him when he plays. He scored, and we had to literally, that goal, he came on with about 10 minutes to go, and we had to pay 560 quid appearance fee just for that goal. So it was worth it. Then we went to Yeovil, and we had Yeovil's game. Hesketh was back for this game. I think we were allowed to play him for like 60 minutes or something like that. But Yeovil went 1-0 up. We equalised with a Hesketh goal in the 46th minute, and we shut up shop, and we drew. But the games previous meant that we were only 3 points behind Yeovil, so we still had a lot to do here. We then went to Bath City with 5 games to go, and we drew to Bath City with a 91st minute free kick. Bath City scored, which meant that we were now 5 points behind Yeovil. We had 4 games to go. We went to Farnborough. We beat them 5-1. One of the most comfortable games of the season. And Yeovil lost, which means we were only 2 points behind them. Then we went to Dover on a Friday night. That's a long old way to go. And we beat Dover 2-0. And Yeovil lost. So we were a point ahead with 2 games to go, which meant it was in our hands again. If all we had to do was win our final 2 games, and we would be champions of the Vanarama National South. That was it. However, we did have to play Eastbourne Borough, who beat us previously in the season, and a very good team. We went to Lewis and we beat them 3-0, and Yeovil lost, which meant that we were winners of the Vanarama National South. We got promoted as champions with a game to go, and Yeovil shit their pants in the playoffs and didn't even get promoted in the playoffs.
Wow.
Which means that we have had back-to-back promotions, which now sees us in the National League. And our wage budget, Mad was talking about having such a massive wage budget. We're now up to 20K a week. We've got just over £500,000 in the bank. And we are looking like a massive rebuild away from League Two, ladies and gentlemen. Always in Mad.
Is it just me that you said, Matt will be happy to hear that you were just having me on, giving me.
Yeah, well, I meant you had like a 5 minute little bit of that. You were excited to hear what was going on. I mean, to be fair, Matt, come on, I'm still miles away.
You are.
But we're also one step closer. And in that Vanarama National now, the money is mental up there, right? We've got some really big teams up there still. Teams such as, I'm just trying to find it now. Warsaw, Southend, Maidstone, Chester, Barnet, you know, this older shot. Wow. There's some, Warsaw, they're League Two, right, when they first started, so they've been relegated. So there's some really big teams in there that are still in that division, and it's very tight. Only 2 go up again, right? We know that. When you look at the wages I've got, it's just over £1 million for the whole year I get to spend. And when you put that up against all the other teams in that division, we are like 10th or 12th. So it's going to be tough. We're going to have to be very shrewd with our money. And I think this might be where we just slow down a little bit now and work it out. We did go on to lose against Eastbourne Borough because we played all the youngsters. And then it meant we won the league by a point.
I was going to ask you then, actually, when do you think it'll start slowing down? Because I think non-league's difficult in a way to get out because it's very limited in terms of the promotion spots and so on. But I always think you're a couple of good players, you find a decent striker in the window, you know, you're laughing, you know, quick striker off the shoulder in non-league, you're laughing. I think when you go professional or League Two, that's obviously when it starts to jump, you know, in difficulty. But what sort of attendance is you getting at the moment, dude, roughly?
We're getting above 1,000 now, which is good. It'll be interesting
because like teams like Warsaw surely are getting, I mean, they're not massive, massive team, but surely getting like 6, 7, 8K. Like that'd be interesting in terms of you guys, some money in terms of just the way allocations and stuff. Because there's some like, teams you mentioned, there's some big teams still in it, like Chester, a big team as well.
Yeah, so our highest attendance last season at home in the league was 1,200. So it kind of hovers around about 1,000. At the start of the season, it was a little bit lower. I mean, there's been some where you go, you go to like, actually our lowest was Toro, which was 138 people turned up to that game, but that was away. Our lowest home was Toro, actually 743 in the league. So yeah, we're kind of above average. I mean, we did top out against Bradford City in the FA Cup for 4,500. So we can sell it out when we want to sell it out when we're playing these big teams. But, yeah, that Bath City game, 1,245 people was probably our maximum there. But I mean, we're in such a good position again this year. We got through to the third round of the FA Cup. We earned the money. We got £500,000 in the bank. We can go professional if we want to. But I don't think it's the right thing to do. A, it's going to cost £1 million to do so, and it's going to cause us a little bit of issue. But we don't need to be professional until we're League Two. So why not just sit here and just see how it goes? And I think most of the teams in the national are professional.
Do you set that yourself, or does it just happen automatically? Can you apply for that yourself?
You can apply for it. Yeah, you can go in as a board request. I'll be honest, it's the first time I've ever done it. So that's I've just seen it there.
What would it achieve for you though? Like players in training more often and stuff like that.
Yeah, must be it. But like Hartlepool are still in the Vanarama National and they're semi-professional. You've got Maidstone are still there, they're professional. So there's Newport professional, Oldham are professional, we beat them 9-1 by the way. So, you know, there's some big teams. Scunthorpe United are there, Solihull Moors are there. So there's some really big teams in this division. It's going to be very, very tough. And we start that this week and this weekend, trying to build for success. But we are up to the 99th best division in the world, in Europe. So, Matt, we are only 76 behind you.
This is a battle for the ages.
But when I started, Matt, you know what level that was at?
120.
I don't know, I'm just looking. I thought you'd fill the gap whilst I looked, to be honest.
I did.
It was low. It was very low. It was 196.
Ooh.
So we've gone from division number, from like level 196 all the way up to where we are now. So yeah, mate, okay. I'm on your tail. We're going to get some kits made up, kind of get a little refresh. We're still only a favoured personnel, even though Simon says to have never been in this division before. But we're looking good. We're in a good position. We've got some money in the bank. I can now start like building my team out with recruitment and et cetera, because we are just ticking along and just trying to do the bare minimum everywhere we go.
Like we're joking about the race for the Champions League, but like you genuinely
joking.
Have, why are you stuttering, mate?
fucking stumble bumble.
For those people that can't see, Mad, he is currently shaking like a shitting dog.
That's for different reasons, but we won't go into those details.
Oh god,
you on the bag again?
Can't see my hands. you have to make it a really good save. Like, you know, as I said, we're talking about the race for the Champions League, but equally, there's nothing wrong. Take your time, do it right, I guess. Do you know what I mean? You know, enjoy it.
Sounds like fighting talk.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it, too. But I wouldn't like you to rush it and make it balls of it, you know? So just enjoy it. Enjoy Football Manager.
I'll be honest, man. Knowing that we had this pod, we only had a couple of games to go, and I was like, right, we're having internet issues tonight, but I was like, we got to finish it so I can do a save up there on the pod, so I need something to talk about. And I'll be honest, all the way through, I never thought we would get promoted at that end. That last bit was just, like, we had like four draws in a row. A loss, yeah, like, it was just terrible. But yet Yeovil, in their last 10 games, only won 2 games. Previous before that, they won like every game. And then they lost in the playoffs against Billericay.
That's good.
So they didn't even get promoted. So, you know, I was really pleased because it's Mark Cooper that's their manager and I'm not a big fan of him.
Indeed. Same.
he's X-Force Green and he had his son there. Anyway, let's jump on to the adventures in Wonder Kidland. David, as a party, please take over and away we go.
No problem. Yep, this week's Adventures in Wonderkindland takes us to Italy, where an 18-year-old half-Dutch, half-Spanish centre-back is having a breakout season at AS Roma. And even more interestingly, he's on loan in the Italian capital from rivals Juventus, having signed for the old lady from the Malaga youth setup in 2021. Dean Huijsen is a 6'5" central defender who, since making his Roma debut in January of this year, has featured in 11 Serie A games, scoring 2 goals and an assist in just over 400 minutes of football. Eligible for both Spain and the Netherlands, Huijsen is a powerful both on and off the ball, dominant in the air and strong in the tackle, as well as having great feet and passing range, epitomising a ball-playing defender or wide centre-back, either in a back three or a traditional back four. So let's have a look at his FM profile, lads. What are we saying?
Yes. He looks good. 6'5", 15 jumping reach, 14 heading. Game over. Let's get him signed up.
That's what Jose said.
I've just had a look at how he's looking on my FM as well. He had a slightly slow start to his career at Juve, because obviously this was before he moved to Rome. I had a little loan spell out in Holland. Juve ended up selling him to PSV for $6.5 million. After a year, Barca signed him for $40 million. So I think if he's one of those players, get him first team football and he'll grow significantly. But like,
what season's that in, Dave?
I mean, 2031, but this was pre-update as well. So by the looks of that profile you've given, Mad,
which it would looks be the like latest, he may have had latest update of the database. You know,
so he may have had a nice little update on the database. To be fair,
I think he has.
But it was really, really good.
On my siren save, I'm in 2027, and he's currently still at Juventus Next Gen at 22.
Same as me.
Yeah. So that
it took him a while. It took him 5 or 6. Yeah. Took him 7 or 8 years before he moved. To be fair. But, like, for a defender, heading 14, marking 13, tackling 14, then physically very, very good. Age of 18.
Yeah.
Give him first team football, he could genuinely turn out to be one of the best centre-halves on the game.
15 determinations.
In the MyPenty, he is at FC 20. 1.2 million.
At what age? At what age?
At 29, I'm in 2034 on that save.
Wow, he's definitely had a bump in the data. In the update, I think.
What was his game time though, Duke? Before that move, was he just not getting it? This is something we discussed, not so much recently, but on some of the Wonder Kids stuff before, especially when they're the big clubs. If they don't get the game time, they just aren't going to grow, and their career just stalls.
He played a lot in Serie C B in the Next Gen. Mm. And then, yeah, Juventus played him once in the 29 seasons. He signed for Sampdoria on a free, played 4 games. And then FC 20, since he's been there 4 years now, 15, 31, 19, 26 games. So, yeah, he's played quite a bit since going to 20. But he's obviously over that hill now, isn't he, at 29? I mean, that's nearly retirement age.
Do you think I've said his name right?
Huijsen.
I don't know what I'd have said, so.
Duncan Huijsen sauce, please.
I feel like we've had a few of these giant young centre halves. Joe, you had one that it was in France, was it? Isaac something. He was like.
Isaac Touré.
Like, if we line these up in a back three.
Mate, imagine that.
I don't know.
That screams. What was the meta for corners back in the day? You used to have Badia Shiel. All of them.
What was the guy, Nikola? Nikola, Joe, you remember the guy, Serbian?
Milinkovic. Fiorentina, yeah.
Yeah. Same story.
Jonathan Tarr.
Yeah.
That's
big fan of
the near post headers. Never worked a network save in my lifetime.
Koulibaly.
Koulibaly.
Yes.
All right, awesome. There you go. If you haven't looked at him, get and look at him. Definitely worth something. Right. Agreed. Dare I ask, Matt, have you got a quiz?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Seeing as you enjoyed last week's quiz so much,
okay.
That's,
Matt, I'm going to be completely open and honest with you, and I talk for everybody that's listening and for the three that are present here. This is your last chance. This is your final chance. And we'll be open, honest, and we'll give you constructive criticism every week about it, and they don't get better. So if this is shit,
you're going to love this one.
You're gone.
No. What I will say about
this. Have you got the answers written down as well?
Yes.
The right answers.
Yeah?
The right answers. Everything ready to go.
Holland.
You're going to love this one, lads.
Sorry, yes.
I'm going to start with a sentence and you're all going to hang your heads because when this podcast comes out, we will have just celebrated St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, for fuck's sake. That brings episode 344 to a close.
A fucking Alan Pardew of podcasting.
Is that why he's wearing the shirt?
Actually, we're
making more about him.
Why?
The front half is Ireland, the back half is England. Just because he's not a full Irishman.
It's got Grealish on the back.
Oh,
Declan Rice. Caston.
Come on, then.
Is Cascarino.
There I fucking ask.
It's okay. There's some English out there who still think that Evan Ferguson can play for England. We'll let them think.
Mate, it can happen.
No, never. This is quite easy, lads. Very straightforward. I'm just looking for the top 10 Irish Premier League goal scorers.
Mate, can we just log off now?
Yeah. Negative.
Just log off now.
Negative. This shouldn't be too hard for you, lads. So we're talking about Premier League era, obviously. I have 10 players in
Robbie
front of
Keane.
Me. We'll go around the house, starting with Joe.
Robbie Keane.
Point for Joe. 126 goals.
Is he number one? He's number one.
Number one, Robbie Keane. 126. Point for Joe. We'll go to Dupe.
Damien Duff.
Shane Long.
Shane Long. Point for Dupe. 56. Puts him third on the list.
Fuck, oh, third. Dave. Kevin Doyle.
Kevin Doyle. Wolves legend?
Wolves favourite. Not quite legend.
Number seven on the list with 37 goals. Okay. Gets you a point. Yeah, back to you,
the
Joe.
The bar is very, very low here. The bar is low.
It is low.
They don't play that many games, so.
So back to you, Joe. I think you shouted one as well.
Damien Duff.
54 goals puts him fourth on the list.
Okay, now.
Point.
Niall Quinn.
Sorry, we're back to Dupe here.
Niall Quinn.
Oh, sorry.
Niall Quinn.
Don't shut the fuck up. I'm not going to take your
Stephen
answer.
Stephen Hunt.
Stop stealing my answers.
Stephen Reid.
James McLean.
James McLean is not.
Is it West or Wrexham?
No. Nilpois. Dave.
Niall Quinn.
Niall Quinn. 59 goals. Puts him second on the list. Behind Robbie Keane.
You're welcome, mate.
Joe, over to you.
Who did I say? Stephen Hunt?
Stephen Hunt is not in the top 10.
Oh, sorry, Joe.
That's all right.
You nicked the wrong one.
I literally don't care, mate.
Over to you, Dave. Dupe, sorry.
Aidan McGeady
is not in the top 10.
I'll be honest.
David.
The only positive that comes out of this is that you ain't doing another fucking quiz, so.
I'm trying to figure the strike. So we had Kim Doyle.
Roy Keane.
Did he have the goals, though?
Yeah.
What about your mate?
Yeah.
John Waters
is up there, you know.
What's your guess, Dave?
John Waters.
I mean, considering Joe said, can we just hang it up now? Like, he's getting
all the answers.
Jonathan Waters.
I'm speeding this up, boys. Come
43
on.
Yeah, no, like goals it. Puts him number five on the list. You have
Roy Keane.
Four left. Joe gets a point for Roy Keane. 39 goals behind Johnny Waters.
What number is Roy Keane on 39?
6.
Fucking hell.
So
I didn't realise he scored that many, to be fair. I know he'd been in the Premier years there, but
you've basically got the top 7 lads. Keane, Quinn, Long, Duff, Walters, Keane and Doyle. There's 3 remaining. 7.
Andy Townsend.
It's Dupes go. And then we'll open it up.
Yeah, what he said.
Incorrect. Over to you, Dave.
Oh, sorry, mate.
I don't think he's right. Stephen Ward?
Stephen Ward is not on the list.
I've got a different... Oh, no.
Now, I'll open it up to the floor, lads. Or Joe.
Stephen Reid?
Stephen Reid is not on the list.
Matt John Jesus. O'Shea?
John O'Shea is not on the list.
Oh. What? Are they all forwards, are they? Forwards or wingers? Or?
I can tell you, none of them are strikers.
Okay.
We don't have enough strikers.
Dennis Irwin.
Dennis Irwin is incorrect, surprisingly.
Wonder who was that bloke who used to score the free kicks? Was he Irish? The Reading guy?
Ah, Ian Hart.
Ian Hart gets Dupe a point. He is number 8 on the list.
Fuck you, though.
I thought it was South African, to be fair.
Might as well.
Lucas Radebe likes this. 2 left. Number 9 and 10.
Seamus Coleman
is on the list. Joint with the chap beside him. Gets Joe a point.
How many goals?
Sorry, 23 for Seamus Coleman.
What about...
And Ian Hart was 28. Apologies.
Dunlap. Surely not Rory Dunlap, huh?
Rory Dunlap gets Dave a point.
Joking, also 23 goals. Wow, so some of these players, I could never afford they'd score that many goals in the Prem.
There ain't that many Irish players, mate.
I wouldn't have thought. That's it, isn't it?
That was the 10. I'm gonna need.
I would never have said Rory Dunlap scored 23 Premier League goals.
He played for about 70 years.
I know. Yeah. The time was on. Time was definitely on his side, to be fair. So, yeah, there's
same as Coleman.
Yeah. I was surprised Irwin actually wasn't there. Like,
yeah.
Did he not take penalties? Did he take penalties at some point as well?
Yeah. And free kicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a banger.
Surprising.
Right third, left back, wasn't it?
True, true, true. I'm getting you a tiebreaker of sorts here, guys, because...
Paul McGrath.
I
think Joe won, to be honest. But
it's you're actually on 4 apiece, so I'm just going to throw you a random question.
That's 12, Irish
related. How are we on 4 apiece?
So here's a question for you lads. I'm going to ask Joe and Dave for one each. In terms of value in FM24, who is the highest valued player at the start of FM24?
Irish,
obviously.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry. Oh, me and Joe on 4 and Dupes on 2. Is that what you say?
Yeah, exactly.
We should all have a go. Fuck
well, you can
on.
All have a go.
Oh, right.
So I'll get one each off you then. Dave. Evan Ferguson. Joe?
Probably wrong, as he's a bit younger.
It's probably someone like Michael Obafemi or something like that.
Is it your guess?
Yeah, fuck it, I don't care.
Dupe.
I'm going to go for... Oh, I don't actually know any other Irish players at the moment. I'm going to go Bazunu.
Shout.
Troy Pratt-Powell. That's a guy I remember.
Right, I can tell you... You're all incorrect. You're all incorrect. It is not Evan Ferguson. It is not Bazunu or Troy Parrott. Or who was the one you said, Dave? Evan Ferguson.
Declan Rice.
He said Obafemi.
Grealish.
Too soon.
Obafemi, he said.
No, Obafemi. It's not Obafemi, sorry.
Oh, other is it going to be Collins?
Nathan Collins, yeah.
Nathan Collins. For some reason, lads, 82 million valuation here. Oh, 82.
I was going to go for the Liverpool
Researcher.
Goalkeeper.
Bosh.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Well, that.
Congratulations, Dave.
Who's a Liverpool keeper?
Weaving Keller.
Who's a Liverpool?
Yeah, he's Irish, isn't he?
Oh, you fucking... I wanted to hear it.
Well, no, I mean pie. Oh,
I thought you were asking me.
Right. So that brings episode 344 to a close. You can find the links for each of us in the podcast description or by visiting 5starpotential.com, where you can find all of our latest Football Manager content. 5-Star Potential is available on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, and most of our popular podcast apps and platforms, with a new podcast released every single week. There'll be no quiz from Matt next week. Thank you all for listening. There'll be more from us, maybe not all of us, next week. Say goodbye, folks.
Goodbye, folks.
You can buy his Christmas quiz book from Amazon.ie.
Goodbye forever.